Thank you, Rosie. Thank you, Brandy. Mother and daughter musical team there. Praise the Lord. Hold your Bibles here this morning. We'll be in Luke chapter 1 to start. Title of my message here this morning, God at Work, God at Work. Luke chapter 1, verse 18 says, "And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." That's verse 18, and that's Zacharias. And just a few verses over, verse 34 of the same chapter. "Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, a ransom for many. And Father, you're at work in each heart and life and around the world and in this nation, God. You're a God who's ever present. And Father, I ask that you would use this word of God here this morning for our edification, our encouragement, our instruction in righteousness here this morning, God. So Lord, bless your word to our lives, and may we be people of God who take your word seriously and honor your Son. Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son and your word, and may you receive all the glory and honor for everything that's said and done. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. You know, God is at work, and we as his people sometimes, it's hard to perceive what God's doing. Now, I want you to, this morning, you got Zechariah here, Luke chapter 1, very familiar scripture to us. And Zechariah, he was, lived a long time. Well, just turn over a few verses, same chapter, just here in chapter 5, in the days of Herod, king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah, verse 5, of the course of Abijah, his wife, was a daughter of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Righteous couple, husband and wife. Verse 6 says they were both righteous before God. They were living the right way. They were doing the right things, the right time, right way, the right attitude. They loved God. They were both righteous, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord. What's that last little word there? Blameless. They had a good walk with God. They're good people. Well, the next verse gives a little insight to their family, and they had no what? Children. Now, God is working. Now, just some comments here. Verse 6. Were they a godly couple? They were. Can a godly couple have problems? They did. They had no children. It really bothers me sometimes when people say, some of these preachers across our land, well, the reason you don't get your prayers answered, you don't have enough faith. In so many words, that's what they tell people. And it's not an issue of faith. You can be a great man or woman of God and still have a need in your life. It's not that you didn't have faith. It's just that God might have a plan for you in your life that you know nothing about. And see, you can be a man or woman of faith and know God and love God and walk with God, and yet you still have this deep need. For them, they had no children. That was a need. And for them, a little insight. If you turn over to verse 13, when the angel encountered him, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy what is heard?" What does that say? A prayer. Now, many years they've been praying about this. God didn't answer. They were a young couple. They wanted children. They prayed, "Lord, you know, we'd like a son or a daughter." And the months went by and the years went by and no child. Now, would it be easy to conclude from that several things? One, you could say, well, there's some secret sin in your life and God's not answering your prayers because you're not right with God. Would that be a conclusion you could make? Well, possibly. But what does Scripture say? They were righteous and blameless. No, what does blameless mean? Blameless means that I know my sin, God knows my sin, but you don't know my sin. I'm blameless in your sight. You don't know my sin. That's being blameless. Not that you're sinless in the sense of being perfect, no. But just that nobody can blame you. You're blameless. You have a good walk with God. So you could conclude that there is some secret sin in their life and God didn't hear their prayers. Or some people might take the route that, well, we pray, but God just doesn't answer prayer. God doesn't answer prayer. I pray, but it doesn't work. It works for you, but not for me. It works for others, but not for me. God doesn't answer prayer. Prayer doesn't work. You could go down that road. You could go down the road that if I'd only had done this or that, maybe it would be different. You could go down that road, that the if scenario, if this, if that, you could go down that road. The thing for Elizabeth and Zachariah that we need to keep in mind, was God working in their life? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Did they understand everything God was going to do in their life? No. So what do you do between the yes and the no? You wait on God. And you trust God. See, for us as God's people, God is working, but sometimes we can get in this muddle, in this fog, because I see this, and I want this here, but God doesn't give it, so therefore God either doesn't hear my prayers, doesn't know about me, doesn't care about me. I'm not whatever God wants me to be. And you can go down that road and blame yourself or blame others. But in this situation here, Scripture makes it very clear, verse 6, they were good people. Righteous, walking, blameless. That's a good testimony. Righteous, walking with God, and blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Now, okay, you've got the close of the Old Testament. Old Testament closes. New Testament starts. How many years between the Old Testament and New Testament? 400 years. Not one prophet in 400 years. They call that the silent years. All of a sudden, John the Baptist shows up. He is quite a man, John the Baptist. And that 400 years of silence, did God have a purpose in that? He did. Because when John the Baptist came on the scene, he was a man to be reckoned with. And of John the Baptist, Jesus says, there has risen none greater than John the Baptist. That was Jesus' assessment of him. He was quite a man. Those years of silence, well, God was working, but would it be fair to say if you were standing in Zacharias' shoes and you were standing in Elizabeth's shoes, you might conclude God is not working in our life. Would that be fair? Would you grant them that much that they could say maybe God's not working in our life? It'd be easy to go down that road. But let's look at this encounter here. Okay, verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. They were both now well stricken. They were old, well advanced. Verse 8, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. Now, once in a lifetime, a priest was allowed to, on the day of incense, to go into the holiest of holies and sprinkle the incense on the altar there. That was once in a lifetime a priest could do that. This was Zacharias' time. Once in a lifetime opportunity for him. According to the custom priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. He went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. Now what happened? They go in, they offer up the prayers. The incense were supposed to be the prayers of God's people ascending up to heaven. Okay, now, what do we learn about Zachariah and Elizabeth? All their life, they had been what? Praying to God. This incense was symbolic. When the saints of God's pray, their incense is like sweet odor going up to God, the time of incense. The people are outside, they're waiting for the blessing. The priest would come out, and he would say this, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee, make his face to shine upon you." He'd give them the blessing when they came out. They were gathered out there waiting for him to come out and give them the blessing, and they would depart. They were in time of incense. There appeared unto him at this time an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and what? Fear fell upon him. Now, I'll just make a little comment here. There's a lot of talk about in books and books written about angels and all this. Every time you have an encounter with an angel in the scripture, what happened to people? They had what? Great fear. And angels, they carry a presence about them. And a lot of this stuff you read about angels, the angels in the Bible, when you come upon them, people, whoa, it just, their presence, they emanated because where do angels come from? The presence of God. And they just have that glory and that power that just emanates from them. And when this angel appeared to Zacharias, he was troubled and fearful. He was taken back by this presence. Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Now at that point, he's offering the prayer of incense, sweet odors up to God. At that point, what should Zechariah have done? He should have said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. God is working. Did he do that? Well, let's read on. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. I mean, this angel, talking about a birth announcement. This birth announcement, it's incredible. You're going to have a son, I tell you what you're going to name him, and he's going to bring joy and gladness, going to rejoice at his birth, and he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord his God. Wow, what a son. Oh, praise the Lord. He should have said. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Why did John the Baptist come? He was the forerunner of who? Of Christ. He was to prepare people's hearts. What did John the Baptist tell people when they came to the Jordan River? Repent. What does repentance mean? Get right with God. You confess your sins. You get right with God. Repent. Turn to the Lord. Now, his prayers heard, verse 13, he's at the altar of incense, offering the prayers of God. God hears our prayers like sweet incense. God is working. Now, Zechariah said, verse 18, whereby shall I know this? Now, how can you say that in another way? Nah, ain't gonna happen. That's kind of a little slang town way of saying it. No, it's not gonna be. No way, Jose. Do you get the drift there? How should this be? Is that a statement of faith or of doubt? Faith or doubt? It's doubt. Total doubt. Now, God is working. God has a plan. Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man. Now, he's looking in the natural eyes. I'm an old man. And my wife is well stricken in years, well advanced. Now, is Zechariah's observation correct? Yes or no? Is his observation correct?
Yes.
It is. That's a true statement. He's old, his wife's old. That's true. But what else is true? God said, you shall have a son. So what trumps old age? God trumps old age, if that's God's will. That trumps it. Verse 18, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years. Now the angel, I don't know if you've ever had somebody say something to you, and you're kind of like, you shake your head, and you're just kind of like, let me tell you. And you know what the angel said? Zechariah, I've got to tell you something here. And this is, yeah, I can just see this angel kind of straightening up saying, Zechariah, look, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And you don't get much better than that. I mean, you don't get much higher than that to stand in God's presence. And I'm sent to speak to thee. God had a plan. God is working. God sent me to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. God sent him. Why did God wait till they were old to have a son? Is there a purpose in that, to wait? Maybe this child was supposed to be a child that was going to do an extraordinary work for God in an extraordinary way, and he was going to have an extraordinary birth so that he can have an extraordinary ministry, so that people could see this extraordinary life by his birth. Because when he was born, everybody was like, whoa, what did they say? They say, what kind of child is this going to be? From the get-go, God had a plan. God is working. I'm sent to thee and to show you these glad tidings. Now, verse 20. See, sometimes we get messed up here because God's working, but when we don't get with his program, sometimes we miss the blessing. And behold, thou shalt be mute, dumb, not able to speak, until the days these things be performed, because thou believed not my words, which shall be fulfilled in those seasons. Now, I just want to make some comments here. Whatever God does, he has a purpose behind it. All things work together for what? Good. That's what God says. He has a purpose behind it. Can God use evil to accomplish his good ends? He can. Now, is there evil in the world? Absolutely. It doesn't come from God. It comes from the sinful nature of man. When Adam and Eve sinned, they invited Satan into the world. Man fell into sin. We all got the sin nature. It's part of our DNA. It's who we are. That's why the body shall die. If you are born twice, you die once. You're born physically and you're born spiritually. John 3 says you must be what? Born again. You got to go through that new birth. You believe on Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. You believe he's your Savior. You repent of your sins. You're born again. That's part of us as people. We're born into a sinful world. But all things work together for good. God has it all for his glory and his honor. In life here, for like Zechariah and Elizabeth, God is working. Now, would they have liked to have had a child when they were young? Would they have? Sure. That's a normal young couple desire, have children. But God might had it for them and their family a greater work that they knew nothing about. And God didn't reveal it to them, not till they were well advanced in ages. This is the reason why she's barren. God will fulfill Scripture according to his plan. Verse 20, that these things shall be performed because thou believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season, in their time. It shall be completed. Every promise of God is sure and amen. It's going to happen just the way God said it would. Well, from that moment forward, he was not able to speak. That was his rebuke for his unbelief. The people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them because they were waiting for him to give them the blessing and they could depart. And they perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. I have no idea how he described an angel to them. Okay, how would you in sign language describe an angel? I have no idea. But somehow he was trying to like tell them he had seen something, and he was like, he couldn't tell them, but he tried to communicate best he could. He remained speechless. But God is working. Now, same chapter, we're introduced to somebody else here. And, by the way, verse 24, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, the Lord has dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach upon men. Did it happen? It happened. Is God's word going to be fulfilled? It will. Same chapter here, 6 months, an angel, Gabriel, sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are thee among women. And when she saw him again, the same thing, see an angel troubled at his saying, Cast into mind what manner of salutation. The angel said unto her, Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now what's Mary's question here in verse 34? Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, was God working in Mary's life? Absolutely. God had a plan for Mary. Was she expecting this to happen? Absolutely not. The thing in life that we need to realize, behind the scene, there's the unseen hand of God working. Now, for Zechariah and Elizabeth, the birth of John the Baptist was totally unexpected, but God had a plan. For Mary, she wasn't expecting this at all either, but God had a plan. He was working. He was working in situations. Verse 35, the angel answered, said unto her, Thou art, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived her son in her old age. Now stop right there. Now you're Mary. God's working. Angel said, you're going to have a child, but a man's not going to know you. And in her mind, how could she connect that? She probably had a hard time connecting those dots. It's like, whoa. This and this doesn't equal this. But the angel said there, Mary, I want to tell you something. Your cousin Elizabeth, that's old and advanced in the age, guess what? She is conceived and has a child right now. And Mary probably said, whoa, you mean Elizabeth is having a child? And that little bit of encouragement, God is working. Your situation may bless somebody else's situation. The way God worked in your life may be an encouragement for others, how God's working in their life. And for Elizabeth, she was an encouragement to Mary. Now, when it comes to God is working, what does verse 37 say? When it comes to God is working, for nothing shall be what? Impossible with God. When God is working, nothing shall be impossible. If God says this is the way it's going to be, it's going to be. Now, is Jesus coming back again? When's that going to happen? Soon. Sooner the better. Okay, I like that. Sooner the better. Yeah, could be soon. You know, it talks about the church being taken out of the earth. How fast is that going to happen? Twinkling, just that fast, boom, we're gone. You know why? Because God's plan's moving from the church age to Israel. He's transferring. He set Israel aside for a while. Church age, the mystery in the Old Testament. Church age is going to end. The church is going out of this world. See, people may say, how can that be? How can that happen? I guarantee it's going to happen. You know why? Because God said so. And God has said many things in this Bible that people said never going to happen. God told Noah, build an ark. Never rained before. God says it's going to rain. You go all over this world, guess what? You'll find marine animals on top of Mount Everest. You go anywhere in this world, high, low, there's marine life on every continent, on every place. Because guess what? The whole world was underwater at one time. It happened just like God said it would. And he left a record of it all around the world. See, when God's working, you don't limit God. You don't look like Zechariah and say, well, I'm old, she's old, this is not going to happen. You can't limit God. Now, with that being said, can there be some good out of all our nations going through right now? Can there be some good to come out of it? I think so. I think God's working. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever prayed for revival in America? Have you ever prayed? I've prayed for that. Have you ever prayed for that? What if revival was going to become because our nation got in turmoil. Tell me what happened in 9/11 when those planes crashed into the World Trade Center? What did people start doing? They started going to church. They were singing, God bless America, standing on the steps, you know? All of a sudden, people got really what? Thinking about God. What if through a downfall of a political system, it meant the uprise of more people getting saved? Could God use that? He could. God can be working. And see, for us, whether it's Zachariah and Elizabeth or Mary, because now you think about, now I want to bring this verse out and then say something else. Verse 38, what is Mary's attitude? Behold what? What does that say? Handmaid, the maidservant. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, total surrender. When God is working, you know what you do? You surrender. God, it's your will. Not my will, your will be done. Your will. Surrender. Now for Mary, she was espoused to who? Joseph. Angel said, you're going to have a child. In her mind, what did she think? How am I going to tell Joseph? How did Joseph react? Like any normal man would. My wife-to-be has been unfaithful. But how did it work out? See, Mary had to trust God, who told her, this is what's happening to you. God is working. So when God is working, we have to have complete what in him? Trust. He's going to work out the details. I don't know how it's all going to work out. And turn over to Matthew 1 here. Just real quick here, Matthew 1. How'd this work out? Verse 18, Matthew 1. Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not willing to make her public example, which was stoning for being unfaithful, was minded to put away, divorce her privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, he has this encounter with the angel, and Joseph went to Mary and said, Mary, I've got to tell you something. Last night God spoke to me. You know this divorce thing I was talking to you about and everything? Guess what? It's okay. I understand now. What do you think Mary did? Hallelujah! How did she, you know what I'm saying? How did she feel? God, you're working. What did Mary do? Lord, your will be done. When God's working, where does he want us to be? Lord, your will be done. I don't understand it. I don't know how it's going to work out. God, you're working. And for God's people, that's where we are. We rest in God. Now, God's working. Can I explain everything that's happening in our country, how it's going to work out for good? I can't explain that. But I know there's a God in heaven that knows each of us by name, that knows our country, that knew our founding fathers, that knew where we were going to be in the year 2020. Can he work all things together for good? He can. But what does he want us to do? Surrender? Accept? And what did he tell Joseph to do? You take Mary to be your wife. And as God's people, you know what he tells us to do? We get with the program. We get with the program. What's God's program right now? God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what? Knowledge of God, repentance. That's his program. He wants to get people saved. Can you do that right now in your life, this week? Can you be an instrument of righteousness in an ungodly world? Can you stand for truth? Are there liars on TV, on the news? Are there liars out there? You know how you know some people are lying? Every time their mouth opens, okay? You just know it, okay? You can tell it. Every time they open their mouth, oh, yep, they're lying. I can't control their mouth, but you know whose mouth I can control? My mouth. Okay, I can control my action. I can't control them. And I can speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I can live a righteous life. What's God's program? You be blameless in this present world. Because one day, he's coming back again. And we're going to be taken up to glory. And I want to make sure I'm ready to meet him. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 in closing here. And Mary says, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." You know, I think she may have written that right after Joseph came to her and said, "Mary, it's okay. God spoke to me last night. I understand now." And she was very thankful to what God did for her. And God is working. We may not understand it, but I know he has a plan. I just need to surrender and trust him through. He's going to work out all the details. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as you're a great and good God, and Father, we live in a dark and difficult days across our land. And Father, you can be working in ways we cannot see. You can be doing things we cannot understand. And yet, Lord, we know you're sovereign in the universe, and you do all things well. So, Lord, bless us as your people. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ cover us. In his holy name we pray. Amen.